morning, had a wonderful week. Let's start this morning with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for waking us up to see a brand new day, a day that we've never seen before. We pray that we may use it wisely in a way that will lift your name up. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. And we pray that as we come together as your children and as brothers and sisters, that we will remove all those things that may distract us and help us that we may focus solely on you and the wonderful God that you are. We ask that you will bless the classes that are going on at this time and that are about to start, that you will equip the teachers with those things that they've studied in your word, that you equip all those who are listening, the students, to be active participants, not just hearers, but doers of your word. And Father, we pray that all the classes today will go well in a way that will draw us all closer to you. Bless us all now and keep us in your hands as we go through this day. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I want you to continue to keep Nathan and family in prayer as they travel. We want, we're not going to stray too far from where he's been going, but he told me to leave Hebrews alone. He has some things planned for us, so we're not going to go there today. But if you remember a few weeks ago, we had an opportunity to go into the scriptures and why it says what it says. And we were looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and we were looking at the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and we spoke specifically about the four things that the scripture is profitable for: doctrine, reproof, correction, instructions, and righteousness. And one of the things we really want to focus on as we talk about what the scriptures say is why it says it and the impact that it should have on all of us. And we understand that the impact it had on those in the first century is the same impact it should have on us today. Because we understand that the scripture is actually God speaking to us. So today I kind of want to focus less on why the scriptures say what it says and more on what are we going to do with it. Now, before I get started, I do want to just I want to make this comment because I do appreciate the leadership giving me an opportunity to come up here. We recognize we have a lot of wonderful and talented brothers who could teach. And so each time that I'm able to come up is truly a humbling and honorable position to be in a moment. And the reason why I bring that up is because today as we start talking about Bible class itself, this is going to be sort of a PSA, you know, public service announcement, but it will be, I like to call it sort of a marketing class. I'm going to market Bible class. And you say, well, we're all here, so why do we need to have a lesson on Bible class? When we start looking at the theology of the scriptures and what the scriptures say, it's important for us to really understand why we do what we do. Okay? So today I want to kind of talk a little bit about Bible class itself and the purpose of it and why we do it. And one thing I love about Bible class and the reason why I love being in class is because unlike a lot of other organized activities that we have, organized things that we do, Bible class gives us an opportunity to have dialogue. Okay, so I want to encourage you to make comments, to ask those questions, and we can have a dialogue. You know, it's not often. Now, I should ask Nathan, when was the last time he was in the middle of a sermon and somebody raised their hand and said, you know, Brother Nathan, I do have a question about that. Can you explain? You know, but in Bible class, we have that opportunity. We should take advantage of those times. So as we talk about it, you know, feel free to make comments, ask questions, and we'll go from there. So, with that said, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, another common verse. It teaches us to study or work diligently to show ourselves approved. Okay? And I want us to think about that as we start talking about the necessity of Bible class. Now, often we speak, we use that term class. You know, we say Sunday school. You know, but do we walk in with an educational mindset? Do we walk in with the idea that I'm about to learn, like we walk into our secular classes when we were growing up? You know, in school, how do we prepare for school? What did we bring to class? What were some of the things we brought to class? We brought our notebook, right? Brought something to write in our notebook, right? Obviously. You know, we usually brought the materials for that class. You know, if it was a math class, we brought our math book. We were supposed to, at least, right? Because if the teacher said, you know, I want us to turn over to page 47 and work on problems 1 through 8, if you didn't have your book, it would have been very difficult for you to complete that assignment. So we brought those things with us. How many of you, I'm not gonna call you out, I'll just sort of make the statement. We should have brought with us an attitude to learn. You know, we're not the ones, you know, there were others in our class, but we weren't the ones who were popping bubble gum, you know, blowing bubbles, putting it under our desk, shooting spit wads at other kids. We were the ones right up front, right, ready to learn with that attitude, like whatever he has for me, whatever she has for me, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to do the best that I possibly can, right? Do we do the same thing when we come to Bible class? Do we have an attitude to learn? Do we bring our notebook? Because I heard a long time ago that a short pencil is better than a long memory any day, right? Are we taking notes so that we can go back and study it even more? You know, do we prepare for our classes? Think about what our moms and dads used to always say the night before. We had what was called bedtime. You know, some of us have bedtimes again too, right? We got self-imposed bedtimes. We had bedtime because we wanted to be fresh for the work ahead of us the next day. Do we prepare ourselves the day before for Bible class? Do we prepare ourselves the day before for worship service? Or were we up Saturday night / Sunday morning until 2 a.m. watching that movie that we've probably seen 5 or 6 times? Watching the late night shows? Or are we truly preparing ourselves, our minds, our spirit to take in God's word? Now, I won't say anything if I see you start to fall asleep in class, but, you know, that's usually one of the indications in the morning. Nathan said it's because of his lessons. You know, I don't believe that. I think he has some wonderful lessons, but a lot of times, if we don't prepare ourselves, then we're not going to be equipped to take in what God has for us to take in. You know, in school, they have a grading scale, you know, and a C, for some reason, is sort of the average. You know, if we wanted to get that A, we really had to work at getting an A. We had to go above and beyond. They say, okay, here are the requirements, do this, this, and this. And if you did this, this, and this, then of course, you know, you get that C. Sometimes they up it to a B or whatever. But if you really want to get that A, you would go beyond what was being taught in class. You would go beyond the homework assignments, and you would do just a little bit more. Do we have an A attitude when we come to Bible class? Do we say, okay, yes, I'm coming on Sunday morning, and I come on Sunday nights, and I come on most Wednesday nights, and so I'm a pretty good Christian? Or do we really try to go a little bit further in the things that we do for God? You know, giving our lives, I believe in Romans chapter 12, it talks about, you know, that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. And it says it's our what? Reasonable service. You know, sometimes when the kids are doing something around the house, and, you know, maybe my son will take out the trash without being asked, you know, when those few times happen, you know, and he'll look, and I'll say, well, you know, that was kind of what you were supposed to do. That's your reasonable service. You know, how much are we going out of the way for God? Or we say, God, I'm going to go ahead and give you my next 2 hours. You know, are we doing God a favor? I once asked the kids about that whole 10%. Are we giving the kids 10%? Or giving God 10% of our time, 168 hours a week, rounded up, we'll say 17 hours. And if we really think about it, it's kind of hard to put in our worship service, our Bible classes, and say, you know, that's part of that 10%. Because are we really giving God anything by coming to class? Are we really giving God anything by going to worship service? We're giving Him praise, but really that's to whose benefit? That's our benefit, right? So we got to think about, what are we doing? What kind of mindset we have when we go into our Bible classes? So, in Bible class, we strive to maximize the time we have by getting everything we can. Why do we come to Bible class? I'm going to open it up for discussion because I'm really curious. We have a lot of people here. We have some who are not here. They're on their way. But I want to ask you who are here, why are you here this morning? Why didn't you just come at 10:30 for worship service? Why are you here at Bible class? Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst for the Word. Okay? Hunger and thirst for the Word. Anyone else? No one else knows why they're here. Okay. Yeah. How to live right outside of this building. You know, it's very easy to put on our Christian caps when we're in the church building and around other Christians, but what happens after we leave? What happens after we say, in Jesus' name, amen, and we start to walk out? How do we deal with the rest of the week? Hopefully, what we learn in classes, what we learn in our services, we're able to take it and apply it, right? Yes, sir. All right. All the help you can get. You know, it's funny because we talk about quality time, you know, like with our spouses and with our children. And if you think about it, we spend more time away from those who we care about the most. We spend 8 to 10 hours, sometimes more, at a job. Hopefully we're getting about 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That doesn't leave a whole lot of extra time for those who we love and care about. So we have to maximize that time, don't we? Well, think about how little we spend together as brothers and sisters, as the church. So we have to maximize that time. All the help that we can get from the little time that we have together, we need to take advantage of it. Anything else? Why are we here? Why are we here this morning? Why do we come on a weekly basis or more? You know, sometimes we get so caught up in looking at things one way. And we're creatures of habit, aren't we? I mean, I could walk up here with my eyes closed and tell you exactly where Jim Flowers is going to be sitting. Right? I can tell you exactly where my wife is going to be sitting or where the parks are going to be sitting. We're creatures of habit. Brothers, if you don't believe that, tomorrow morning try to wake up and shave on the other side of your face first. Right? You may cut yourself all over the place. We're creatures of habit. And sometimes we get so caught up in those things and how we look at things, how we do things, that it becomes very difficult to consider another perspective. But again, with Bible class, it's an opportunity for dialogue. We now can hear not only from those who are teaching, but from one another. I'm sure many of us have had those situations where we've gone into a class and we listen to what was being taught, or we've heard from someone and they say, you know, I've read that scripture 100 times, and that's the first time I really thought of it that way. You know, not that it's a new revelation, right? God's word hasn't changed, but our understanding of God's word is now better because we've had an opportunity to talk with one another and listen to what's being taught. Excellent point. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Back, right? Yeah, that's next. Got to keep practicing, right? Like with anything else, if we stop practicing, sometimes we lose it. You know, I went out to play basketball the other night, or a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it seems a lot, you know, earlier than what. A couple of weeks ago, and I remember how to play, and my mind said do one thing, But I hadn't been doing it for a while, and you know, my leg said, "You let me know when you're coming back here, because this is where I'm going to be." Right? My practice was a little off, but the more I do it, the easier that becomes, and more of those skills, some of those things, they're never coming back. But some of those things will start to come back to me the more I do it. Right? Same thing with our study. Yes, sir. You know, we're going to talk about that in 1 second, but it's really, how many of you have brothers and sisters? Okay. So, were any of them, like, close to you in age, like within 2 or 3 years? Yeah? Okay. So, you probably know you can fight with your brother. I see somebody laughing. They had a lot of fights, I guess, growing up. You could fight with your brothers and sisters, but if anyone else tried to come close to them, to even put the thought in their mind, you were the first one there, right? You know, Mom used to say, you know, if your brother or your sister came home and they're dirty from a fight and you're clean, you're in trouble, right? Because you didn't stick up for your family. And a lot of times, you know, we understand that concept of family. You know, what you're saying, as brothers and sisters, we're not just co-parishioners. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, our connection with one another and our purpose. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to treat each other like brothers. That doesn't mean start fighting with them, you know. But we need to treat each other like brothers and sisters. You know, it's a bad thing when we're walking on eggshells around our own family. You know, well, I don't want to say, you know, a certain thing because it might be offensive. And I'm not saying go out and be just offend them and be brass about it or abrasive, you know, but we have to be comfortable with one another that if you did have a need, that you'd feel comfortable enough to come to me. If I had a need, I'd feel comfortable enough to come to you. That's what we are. We're connected in Christ. And we can't look at each other as like, oh, that's the person I go to church with. You ever see somebody in the grocery store, you know, from here? And, you know, you may be with somebody, say, at work or somewhere, and you say, who is that? Oh, I go to church with. Really? You know, that's our brother, that's our sister in Christ, right? I saw a hand back here. No? Okay. So, why do we come to class? I want to give us 2 points, and it's really not just class, but you know, in everything that we do. The first reason, it was already mentioned, because we love God and His Word, right? We love God and His Word. How many people have you said you love and you don't want to know anything about them? You can't think of anyone. If you really love that person, you want to know as much as you can about them. Let them know as much as they can about you. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. Somebody has, you can read through that. 1 John chapter 2. Love, we're going to keep His commandments. What are His commandments? You know, as Tom said on Wednesday, it's not a trick question, right? What are His commandments? In short, in summary, Okay? Yeah. So if we're to keep his commandments, how do we know what they are? Do we just guess and say, well, this feels right? You know, a lot of people in the world today says, you know, well, this just seems like the right thing to do. I'm helping somebody. I must be doing what's right. It feels good to me. So that must be what God would have me to do. Is that how we approach it? No. How do we approach them? What are his commandments? Where can we find them? There we go. In the Bible. So if we don't study, we can't know. So if we love him, it implies that we're studying. We're taking every opportunity. We need as much help as we can. We take every opportunity to get to know him so that we can keep his commandments. That's how we show our love for him. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, Peter got a little upset with Jesus after a while because he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, you know I do, Lord. And he said, well, feed my sheep. I want you to show your love for me. Feed my sheep. And the second time he said, Peter, do you love me? Didn't I tell you the first time? You know I do. Feed my sheep. He said it a third time. By this time you can imagine if your spouse said to you, do you love me? And you answered them. And a few minutes later they ask you the same question. You may start speaking in the past tense after a while, right? I did. You just keep bothering me. No, I'm just kidding. But after a while, you can imagine what Peter was saying. But Jesus really wanted to emphasize that point. And he's emphasizing it to us all throughout the New Testament. You see, those who claim to love God were doing what God would have them to do. And if we don't know what it is, Romans chapter 10, you know, Israel. Prayer for Israel, heart and desire. They have a zeal for God, but not according what? To knowledge. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, seek to establish their own, not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. We have to understand that they had a desire, but they weren't doing the work that they needed to do to get to God. And we have a love for God. We say we have a love for God, but are we studying? Are we getting to the point where we're taking advantage of the Bible class? We're taking advantage of the little time that we do have in the morning and in the evening and the afternoon to study God's word so that we can keep his commandments according to what he would have us to do. Because we love God, we come to our Bible classes. You can also look in John chapter 17, verse 3. And two, because we love one another. You know, I heard someone else say it too, and I appreciate that. You know, when we talk about loving God and building a relationship with him, a relationship is a two-way street. We understand we get to know more about God through him talking to us through the Bible and us talking to him through prayer. Right? And we also speak our love for him in the things that we say and do. Okay? But when we love, because we love one another, we come to class, one, because we can have that dialogue. We can get a new perspective. We can give a new perspective. You know, you may have seen things one way the whole time, and you just happen to say, you know, when I read that scripture, and I coupled it with this scripture, this is the conclusion I came to, or this is the conclusion God revealed in his word. And someone else will say, wow, I never considered that. You've just encouraged them. And of course, like we said earlier, you're also encouraged when you hear others as well. But also, as an example, your mere presence, even if you're not one of those who likes to speak up in Bible class, your mere presence is a positive example for those who are around. You never know what someone else may be going through, and they come to Bible class and they know that you've gone through something very similar. You know, we have those who have been ill and have come to service, and that's an encouragement for those who are saying, well, I could have stayed home. I wanted to stay home. But, you know, I see my sister here, and it's just so encouraging for me to know that, you know, even in that condition, they're committing themselves to God, and that's encouraging to me and makes me want to come that much more. Okay, so we're examples. You know, one of the greatest tragedies I've ever seen in my time in the church is watching a parent drop their child off to Bible class and then leave. Not leave like go to their own class, but leave. I'll be back in an hour. I'll be back in 2 hours to pick you up. You know, that's a tragedy. And then when they are not responding in a way that that parent expects. They wonder, what has gotten into this child? They go to Bible class all the time. I know because I drop them off there. But they're looking at the example set by that parent. And then when they stray away, the parent seems very surprised. We have to be an example to one another. Growing up, you know, we often had that, I'm sure you've seen this before, the parent says, because I said so. Right? Those four words, because I said so. And usually, that was enough for us for that time. But until we start seeing, because I did so, you know, that's when it really sticks. That's when it really sticks. When you see, you know, you remember those little bands they used to have on the What Would Jesus Do? You know, those who wore those were basically saying, here's the example that was set. Okay? Jesus did it, so that's the example I'm going to follow. That's how we need to be toward one another. And that's one of the reasons why we have Bible class. Now, if we think about those two things, because we love God, because we love one another, right? Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Someone read verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22:36-40. What were the two reasons why we come to Bible class? Because we love God. And what else? Our brothers and sisters. They asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? Jesus says, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then what? Love others like yourself. You should love your neighbors as yourself. Verse 39. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. When we're coming to Bible class and we're doing it because we love God, and we do it because we're loving one another, we're fulfilling what Jesus is saying in this verse, these verses. Okay? And so if you think about it, everything that we do should be around these. When we go out and we speak with people about Christ, why are we doing it? Because we love God, and because we see a soul and we love them. Right? Even when we're at our office doing our work, on Monday, when you go out, you know, when Mike's traveling to California, God knows where he's traveling, right? He's doing it with the mindset of, I'm doing the best I can because I love God and I love others. That's why we do what we do. So when we start talking a little bit more about the scriptures and our purpose, we should always have that in mind. All right, so with that said, still have a few minutes. We know why we do it. What do you personally get out of Bible class? I'm not really asking the question, what does one get out of Bible class? I'm asking, what do you get out of Bible class? Anything. Bueller? Right. What do you get out of Bible class? Yes, sir. I want you to keep that word in your mind. Guides. It guides us. Okay. Keep that in your mind. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Okay. So, and you kind of answered the second part of that question is, you know, we think about what we get out of class. What do we bring to it? When you come to class on Sunday morning, when you come to class on Wednesdays, when you come to different activities, what are you bringing to that activity? Because we understand, I mean, even in worship service, there's only one spectator, right? Everybody else, we're all participants. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to listen to other things going on, the things that are going on. We're participants, active participants in worship. God's the spectator, right? So what are we bringing, going back to class, what are we bringing to class? Outside of notebooks and pencils and pens, right? What do we bring to our classes? Anything? Your love of God. Yeah, okay. And how do you show that? We'll pick on you just a little bit here. How do we show that in our? Well, I'm just going to stop there, period. That's a good point. So you're bringing your obedience, you're showing God through your obedience to Him. I appreciate that. You know, like I said, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the impact of the scripture. And to hear you say that really shows the impact of the word that it had, the impact that it has on you as an individual. You know, and that's really how it should be for all of us. We shouldn't take the word of God casually. You know, it is the word of God. Yes, ma'am. You know, by bringing questions, I remember one, someone I know very well, he used to always say, I never want anyone to leave with a question on their mind. You know, and the idea was, if there's a spiritual question, we should strive to get that answered. We don't want to walk away saying, you know, well, I didn't know it, and I don't like speaking up in class. I'm not, you know, an extrovert. I don't like talking to an audience, and so I'm just going to leave it there. And we leave with these questions in our minds, and we never get them answered, and then we can never really grow in that area. You know, so that's good. We come with the questions. Hopefully, we don't leave with that same question, right? Okay, so how does all this relate to the quarter's topic, theology of the Scripture? Well, theology, as we know, you know, theos, talking about God, logi, study of, so we're talking about the study of God, study of God through the Scriptures. You know, as we gather information from God's Word, we are better able to fulfill our role and purpose in life. And that kind of comes back when we talk about Bible class, the purpose of Bible class. Now, there's a movie that was out several years ago called The Matrix. I don't know if you remember the science fiction people. You know, probably remember The Matrix. And there was a scene in the movie where the antagonist, Agent Smith, you know, he goes up to Neo, Mr. Anderson, no relation, and he talks to him about purpose. And that one little scene really kind of stuck with me because I thought about us as Christians. Now, in the movie, it says, you know, it's purpose that created us, purpose that connects us, that pulls us, that guides us, which I want you to keep your finger on that one, that guides us, that drives us. It's purpose that defines us and purpose that binds us. Turn over to Ephesians 3 and 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Also, for those who are taking notes, because of course you brought your notebook and your pen and pencil, you can look and you can write down Romans 8:28 and also 2 Timothy 1 and 9. But Ephesians 3 and 11, or 10 and 11, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to what? To the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. When we start thinking about our purpose, God created us for a reason. We have a purpose for being here. So, you see all those philosophers. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? What's the whole duty of man? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's our purpose. And that should be that very thing, as, you know, Agent Smith says to Mr. Anderson. You know, that connects us. How are we connected? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? We all have the same purpose. Now, it may be manifested in different ways, but we have the same purpose. You know, what is it that pulls us? What is it that pulls us out of the world? Our purpose. What is it that drives us? Why do we do what we do? Why are we motivated to do what we do? Because of our purpose. Again, what connects us? What drives us? What defines us? Who we are as individuals goes right back to our purpose. Our purpose. And of course, that is also what binds us. Our purpose. So if we think about, you know, why we come to class, why do we study at all, it's because it is our purpose. And I heard once, and I always repeat it, that which is our purpose must be our priority. That which is our purpose must be our priority. If our purpose is to fear God, keep his commandments, if our purpose is to go out and save souls and keep the saved, that has to be our priority. It can't be put on a back burner when we have time for it. When we come to our Bible classes, when we go to all the other activities that we are involved in, we have to remember our purpose. If we achieve our purpose that God has for us, if we want to, we have to be equipped. Romans 10, I'm going to leave you with this. Romans 10, chapter 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. You know, a lot of times the world talks about the verses before that. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession of men to salvation. They think that's it. But beyond that, we've heard that scripture a lot. Verses 11 through 18 says, for the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between the Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound gone out to all the world, and their word to the ends of the world. If we are to be the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and 11, we're to be the oracles of God and preach the word to all ends of the earth. We have to first be equipped so that we can fulfill our purpose. Again, I was preaching to the choir. You're all in Bible class, and I'm thankful that you're here. You know, but we have to also take full advantage of the time that we have together to learn as much as we can so that we can fulfill God's purpose. I didn't hear first bell, but I think that was the second one. Thank you for your time, and God bless.